evening to each of you. And what a privilege it is to be at Southern Adventist University. Even though I didn't attend here, I have a lot of connections to this place. I've had three daughters who attended here, two who graduated from here, one that went on to further studies. My wife attended, and of course, many family members. So we feel very much at home at Southern Adventist University. It seems like I am touching all the, not all of them, but many of the Seventh-day Adventist institutions of higher learning in the last 2 weeks. I've been on the campus of Andrews University, and then Oakwood University, where we just had our spring meeting of the Executive Committee of the General Conference, and wonderful spirit there, and wonderful hospital. And then just this week, on the campus of Loma Linda, where we had a constituency meeting for that large university, and now here at Southern. And what a privilege it is to belong to God's worldwide family. You know, it's a special privilege, and on behalf of that great family, I want to share greetings from your almost 17 million brothers and sisters around the world. Never forget that you're a vital part of this great worldwide movement. And it is more than just another church, more than just another denomination. It is a movement born of heaven. You see, I believe very profoundly that Jesus is coming soon. And it's a great privilege to be here at a dedication service, Dr. Beetz, to be able to see young people who are going to serve in many different ways in a dedication service for three different ways of service. Seniors in the religion department, theology majors, religion majors, others who are involved, those who are going out as student missionaries. And what a tremendous program that is. You know, it's about 50 years ago when the first student missionary left the United States. And what a wonderful opportunity each of you who are going to different places will have to not only enjoy something of an international flavor, but to be part of this great proclamation of the three angels' messages. Never forget that you're representing Jesus. And then, of course, those who are going to be preaching the Word of God this summer. Praise the Lord for those of you who are involved in direct public evangelism. And I know that God's going to bless your efforts. You may only have two or three, you may have 200 or 300 as a result of your meetings. Whatever it is, pray that the Holy Spirit will accompany you, that the words you speak will not be your own, but those of Jesus as He speaks to the hearts of people. Praise the Lord for what God is going to do through you. Because you see, it is a wonderful privilege to belong to this worldwide family. A wonderful family. A people of hope. People who are looking for the soon coming of Jesus. It's part of our name, Seventh-day Adventists. If you don't believe in Christ's soon imminent return, can you really call yourself an Adventist? A people with a prophetic message to prepare the world for Christ's soon coming. A people who are called to proclaim the three angels' messages of Revelation 14. Those angels are proclaiming a powerful message of Christ and His righteousness and turning people back to the true worship of God. A people who accept Christ as their Savior, who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died for us on the cross, rose again, is interceding in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, and is soon to return to take us home. A people who accept Christ and His righteousness, His all-encompassing righteousness, I just preached on that subject last Sabbath at Oakwood about Christ's justification, making us perfect in the eyes of the Heavenly Father with His robe of righteousness. And then, as we accept that, we accept also His righteousness in working in us to change us, to become more and more like Him through the process we call sanctification. Let us never, ever be accused as Seventh-day Adventists as being legalists and as accepting in some way righteousness by works. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Of course, we have to submit. That is our work. We have to ask the Lord to help us to know what it is that in our lives must become more and more like Him, and He will direct us. But it is His power that does it in us. Christ's righteousness. His all-encompassing righteousness. A people who are accepting of the wonderful, powerful law of God, the Ten Commandments, including the Fourth Commandment, the Sabbath on which we have begun to worship. I assume it's Sabbath about now. The seventh day. A day in which God demonstrated His incredible creative power as a culmination of six literal 24-hour days of creation, of recent origin. A powerful and wonderful culmination to that creative week. A people of God who accept and value what I believe to be one of the greatest gifts given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that is the Spirit of Prophecy. People who accept the immortality of the soul. Now you might say, well, why'd you mention that one? Well, let me tell you. We are going to be facing in the very near future one of the greatest assaults on the Seventh-day Adventist Church and our beliefs when it comes to spiritualism, when it comes to mystic understanding of how things work in a spiritual way. The Seventh-day Adventist Church will be faced with unbelievable challenges. In fact, at the very end of time, you will be presented with the greatest delusion possible, and that is the personation of Satan as Jesus. You will not be able to believe anything except you understand it from the Word of God. And that is why we have to lift up the Scripture, understanding the Bible as the central focus and foundation of all that we believe. Sola Scriptura. Seventh-day Adventists believe in the Word of God. A people who are seeking revival and reformation leading to the latter reign of the Spirit. For only through that power will we truly be able to share in its fullness the powerful three angels' messages. Revival and reformation. Some people say, oh, you know, that kind of sounds a little bit legalistic and tough. Reformation, I don't know. Let me tell you, my dear friends, those of you who are going to be preaching this summer, those as student missionaries, those who are going to be spiritual leaders in congregations, preach the full message of Jesus Christ, that every day we need to be revived in Him. We need to be reformed or changed through His sanctifying power to become more and more like Christ through His power. We need to be praying earnestly for the Holy Spirit to take control of the Seventh-day Adventist Church so that the latter rain can come. We read in Selected Messages, Book 1, page 121, a revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. Seek this should be our first work. Is that the case with you? With me? You see, God wants to pour out His blessings on you and on me as His people. We need to look forward to what God is going to do in this great Seventh-day Adventist movement. To expand our work even more. And how are we going to do that? God will use you to expand His incredible work through evangelism, through the use of media, through health work, through literature evangelism, through educational work, through every possible way of reaching individuals. Let me tell you, we're going to be launching a very direct assault beginning this annual council in October to outline, perhaps by God's grace, the boldest, most proactive approach to reaching the huge urban centers of this world. 50% of the world's population now lives in the urban centers, and it's only growing. Now, it says Seventh-day Adventists, many times we like to move to the country and praise Collegedale and for the nice, beautiful setting you have here. But don't forget the people in the cities. Don't just pray for them. There are going to be young people here who are going to go into those cities, going to reach people with this precious message. I want you to remember our efforts to try and reach the great urban centers of the world. And coupled with that, another great emphasis that we're going to be giving is in the area of, we call it from the spirit of prophecy, it's kind of an old term, medical missionary work. It means helping people where they hurt. The needs that they have, everything from sophisticated medical activity all the way to giving a glass of cold water to someone in need and everything in between. And Ellen White tells us that this is one of the greatest keys to reaching the large cities of the world. So please be praying about how we can best utilize God's great plans for the reaching of people in the cities and medical missionary work. But I want to tell you, one of the greatest ways, in spite of all these methods, is going to be that God is going to work through you and me personally. That is the greatest opportunity that each of us have. You see, God is asking you to renew your commitment to proclaim this precious Advent message. All three groups of you tonight. Precious groups, important groups that are going to be highlighted in just a few minutes. God's calling you to action, to proclaim His Word, the Word of God, to proclaim the three angels' messages. He's calling you to be ambassadors for Christ. You see, God's calling you to represent Him in the last days of Earth's history. He's calling you to be His ambassadors. Now, I've lived in different parts of the world. It's been a great privilege to be able to do that. And I've seen ambassadors representing their countries. You know, usually an ambassador arrives in a real flurry of style. They come in a limousine, they've got flags waving on the fenders, honor guards saluting. I don't know how many of you arrived here in a limousine tonight. You probably walked, even in the rain. I don't know how many of you were received by an honor guard. Certainly someone probably greeted you. I don't know how many flags were waving. But whether you arrived here in a limousine or not, you are an ambassador for Christ. You see, we are fast fulfilling the prophecies of the Bible in Revelation 13 and other places, and God is calling you at this time in Earth's history to be truly an ambassador for Him. Our scripture was read tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The last five verses of that chapter are marvelous verses. I want to focus for a few moments. We don't have a lot of time tonight, but I want to focus on a few of those verses to help you understand what it means to be an ambassador for Christ in the 21st century, just before Jesus' coming. When we look at the 17th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, and this is the first qualification of an ambassador has new credentials. Now, when an ambassador comes to a particular country, he will present his credentials to one of the highest authorities in the government, whether it be the president or the secretary of state, whatever it happens to be, to show that he is a legitimate representation for that government. Here are our credentials. Therefore, If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, when you come to Christ, when you stand at the foot of the cross, and you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you are made new. Those are your credentials. You're a new creature in Jesus Christ. One of my brothers-in-law has a picture. I just saw it just a day or so ago because I came from Loma Linda yesterday. Christ on the cross. A man kneeling at the foot of the cross. And the inscription is something to this effect, coming from Steps to Christ, that a man has reached his highest point when he is kneeling at the foot of the cross. An ambassador has new credentials to represent Jesus because Jesus has made him and her new. Secondly, an ambassador recognizes the authority and power of God and submits to that authority. Look at the first part of verse 18. Now, all things are of God. An ambassador for Christ, those of you who are going out as student missionaries, preaching the word this summer, those of you who are going to be preaching full time as pastors, you have to recognize that God is in control of everything. You must submit completely to His control. I'm reminded of a story of an individual who was a good friend of mine and one of our finest leaders in many ways in the Euro-Asia division. I had the privilege of working in Russia and in the Euro-Asia division for a few years. And it was one of the highlights of our experience, for we saw God at work in so many ways. But one of these gentlemen who was one of God's special ambassadors, his name was Ivan Gumenuk. Pastor Gumenuk was, during the Soviet period, the president of the Moldova Conference. Now, the Moldova Conference is ethnically and linguistically the same as Romania. But it was a region carved out by the Soviet Union in order for it to exercise further dominance of that area. And so the Soviet Union was even a little paranoid and jealous about another communist country, Romania, in that they thought Romania would somehow draw in Moldova. And so they put a restricted zone between Romania and Moldova, and you could not get into that zone. This was during the Soviet Union period. You couldn't get in there without a special pass. Now, Pastor Gumenuk, who was the conference president, wanted to get in there, meet people, talk with them, pray with them, encourage them. He repeatedly tried to get in. He'd get on the bus, come up to the border, the frontier, and the KGB agent would get on, look up and down the rows, point at Pastor Gumenuk, pull him off. Never could get through. Never had a pass, of course, either. Finally, one of our laymen, one of our lay brothers, told Pastor Gumenuk, he said, "I think I know how I could get you in." He said, "I think we have a problem. Look at you. Just look at yourself." Pastor Gumenuk looked at himself. He had a coat and tie on. He thought he looked reasonably representative of the Lord and of the church. He said, our layman said, "You don't look like you belong in that area. That's an agricultural area. Now, if you let me, I'll fix you up and let's see if you can get in." So Pastor Gumenuk, willing to be an ambassador who submitted himself to the Lord and understood that God was ruler over, of course. So this layman looked around, got his beat up shirt, gave it to Pastor Gumenuk. Then he gave him a basket. And in the basket, he put a rooster. Now he said, "You get on the bus and you sit there and let's see if you can get through." Now, the layman had his own way of passing messages to a lot of people in that restricted area, secret ways. And he said, "If the man with the rooster gets through to the bazaar or the marketplace, go and see him and you can receive spiritual help from him." So Pastor Gumenuk got on the bus, came up to the border, KGB agent got on, looked up and down the rows, got off the bus, and Pastor Gumnov got through. Underneath the rooster, he had his Bible. He got to the place, put the basket down, took the rooster out, took out his Bible, and pretty soon people started coming to visit with him, to talk with him. All day long, he prayed with people. He studied the scriptures with them. He encouraged them. At the end of the day, took his Bible, put it in the basket, took the rooster, put it in the basket, and left. He left all these things at the home of that layman, and he did this so many times, getting into that restricted area, that the children of that layman began to say and call the rooster, Gumnov's rooster. One day, Pastor Gumnov put it together, got on the bus, got up to the border. KGB agent got on, looked up and down the rows and pointed at Pastor Gumnov and pulled him off the bus. Pastor Gumnov was worried because during that period of time, even carrying a piece of Christian literature could put you in jail for 5 years. A lot of people suffered. Some people died. It was a very difficult time. Perhaps, not perhaps, but we will face that time again. Is your faith strong in the Lord as an ambassador? Pastor Gumnov came into the KGB office and the colonel looked at him, talked to him for a few minutes, and then he asked him a question that filled Pastor Gumnov's heart with terror. He said, "How long are you going to torment that rooster?" You see, they had been following him all along and knew exactly what he was doing. He was really terrified because he felt probably he would be ending up in jail. But then God intervened in a very special way. He didn't always do this because everything is within his omniscience and to his glory. But the colonel turned to his lieutenant and ordered his lieutenant to give Pastor Gumnov a permanent pass into the restricted area. For you see, they had seen that Pastor Gumnov was trying to build up society, that he was trying to help people. He was not causing insurrection. And he truly was a help to that community. As an ambassador for Christ, stand for what you believe. Understand that God is the ruler of all and that He will care for you as you go forth as an ambassador for Him. And then in the last part of verse 18 and 19, it says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Let me tell you today, the world needs a lot of reconciliation. Maybe in your own home, maybe in your dormitory, maybe in your home church, maybe right here at Southern, and certainly outside, where you will be going as student missionaries, as preachers of God's Word. Bring reconciliation to God's people and to others. God will use you in a powerful way. And then, thirdly, an ambassador, or that's third, the third point, an ambassador accepts the responsibility to bring people together. Fourthly, an ambassador represents the King of the universe. And let's read in verse 20. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." God asks you to be that ambassador, to represent Him in the fullest, most powerful way. Just a few weeks ago, Nancy and I visited in Papua New Guinea, just outside of Port Moresby, a small church that had been organized as a small group and had grown and grown all through the efforts of a lady named Madeline, a lady who was a layperson, an earnest believer in the Lord, and a true ambassador for Christ. Someone who, when three ladies came to her and said, "Please teach us to read," she said, "All right, we're going to use the Bible." And when they started reading the Bible and they came to words they didn't understand, she said, okay, now we're going to pray that God will help you understand those words. And through that, more and more people began to come to Madeline. She taught more and more people about the Word of God and how to read. And it grew from a small group of 3 to now the church is about 600. All through the humble work of an ambassador for Christ who truly understood her mission as a member, as an ambassador for Jesus. Fifthly, an ambassador knows what he or she believes. You read that last verse, verse 21. If there were perhaps no other verse in the Bible, this would certainly be one of the most important. For he, the Father, made him, Jesus, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. It tells us about the sinlessness of Jesus. It tells us about his substitutionary death on the cross for each of us. It tells us about his righteousness that can become ours as we place ourselves completely in his hand. We must know what we believe. We must understand that as ambassadors for Christ, we believe fully and completely in Christ's righteousness and in the full understanding of what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm reminded of another story that came out of the difficult times of communism. When one of our brothers in Romania, an elder of the church, was forced to come to a prison and asked to renounce his faith in Jesus. And of course, he wouldn't. He knew exactly what he believed. He believed so firmly in the precious message of Christ and his righteousness, of this precious Advent movement, and he refused. And so they decided to break his faith by placing him in solitary confinement without food. Knowing that within 3 days or so, his craving for hunger would break him of this belief in Jesus. But little did they know that God had his own way of guiding and blessing this incredible ambassador for Christ, just as he will each of you as you go out. For when they locked the door and refused to give him food, God provided him in a unique way. First day, a cat appeared in the window and came through the bars holding a slice of bread in its mouth. Now, this isn't just, you know, fluffy white American bread. This is solid European stuff. And he realized God was feeding him just like Elijah was fed by that bread, and he ate the bread except the little piece that had been in the mouth of the cat. I don't know how he refrained from doing that, but he was saving it for evidence. He put it in his pocket. The second day, the cat appeared again. Again, with a slice of bread. He ate it, put the little tiny piece in his pocket. The third day, it happened again. Finally, the authorities and the jailer came to that prison cell, expecting to find a man half crazed with hunger, ready to denounce his faith in Jesus, to give up this Seventh-day Adventist belief. And instead, they found our brother quietly seated, waiting for them. And then he began to relate to them his experience and telling them how a cat had appeared and had provided food for him. And he pulled out those 3 little pieces out of his pocket to show them the proof. And as God would have it, at that very time, the cat appeared again. Again with a slice of bread. And the jailer turned and looked at that cat and said, "That is my cat. And that is my bread." It didn't always happen that way. As I said, some people died in prison. Some people's faith took them to a very difficult time. But in that instance, because our brother believed so heartily in what God has said was truth, God rewarded him in a special way. I found out also that the jailer was so impressed that he invited our brother home to his house for a meal. What a blessing to stand for Jesus and be an ambassador for him. You see, in the book Testimonies for the Church, volume 7, page 138, it says, Seventh-day Adventists, that's you and me, have been chosen by God as a peculiar people. Theology and religion seniors, student missionaries, preachers this summer, and share him. You're a peculiar people, separate from the world. He has made them his representatives and has called them to be ambassadors for him in the last work of salvation. The greatest wealth of truth ever entrusted to mortals, the most solemn and fearful warnings ever sent by God to man have been committed to them to be given to the world. That's what God has put in your hands, each of you, in these three groups, as well as all the rest of us as well. So, fellow ambassadors, you may never ride in a limousine, but I want to tell you, one of these days you're going to ride in a cloud going to heaven. You may never have an honor guard here on this earth, but as you enter heaven, you're going to have one of the greatest honor guards in the hosts of angels who will welcome you into God's kingdom. And you may never have flags waving as you go around in your work as an ambassador for Christ. But I want to tell you, one of these days, Christ himself is going to wave you into his kingdom. What a privilege to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And tonight, as we culminate this dedication evening, as ambassadors for Christ, I want to challenge each one of you. I want to challenge those who are going to go as student missionaries. And I'd like for those who are going as student missionaries, would you just stand right now? I want to give you a special challenge. With that kind of support, you can't go wrong. Just know that you're going to have hundreds and hundreds of people praying for you, and that the Holy Spirit will accompany you. But as student missionaries, I challenge you, don't let your eyes fall away from looking to Jesus. Allow His Word to be active in your lives, and to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you in a powerful way. I charge you to not only be student missionaries, but to truly be ambassadors for Christ. Please remain standing. I want to ask the theology, religion, and other seniors from the religion department if you would stand also. You have a great future ahead of you. God has chosen you to be part of the greatest proclamation ever known to this world. And that is to lift up Jesus in all of his beauty, to point people to the Word of God, to help people understand that Jesus is coming soon. And he wants people to be prepared. He wants them to fully accept him in their lives. And you have been given the opportunity of helping to form people's understanding of what it means to be truly each one of them as ambassadors for Christ also. I challenge you, charge you, to fulfill that work under the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like you to remain standing. Those of you who are going to be preaching this summer, would you stand? I challenge each one of you, don't let anything deviate you from presenting this word. Don't let your own ideas, don't let other extraneous things come into your preaching. Use the word of God. The word of God will divide rightly. It will bring clarity to people's minds. Allow the Holy Spirit and invite the Holy Spirit to speak through you. And now to the rest of you in this audience. Would you like to also be ambassadors for Christ? Are you willing to accept, along with these wonderful young people, the challenge to be part of God's remnant church that is preaching His word and pleading with the Holy Spirit to fill us so that the latter rain will help this message to go like wildfire and Jesus can come? Will you accept to be ambassadors for Christ? Would you stand? Let's pray for a moment. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for letting us be part of this great Advent movement, for letting us be part of the proclamation of the Word of God, of proclaiming the three angels' messages, helping people to turn back to the true worship of God, to understand His righteousness and what He wants to do in our lives in these last days, to prepare people for Jesus' coming. Now, Lord, three groups, and bless the fourth group, all those who are standing. Lord, we stand in complete submission to You. Bless each one of us and make us truly, through Your power, ambassadors for Christ. We ask all these things in the precious and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, our Creator, our coming King, our High Priest, and our best friend, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.